resolve, and sure grittiness.
It starts with an attitude. We need swagger, okay? Regardless of what happens out there, doesn't matter. Keep your swagger.
Hello there, everybody. Welcome to the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Podcast. I am your host for today, Mike Rogerson. The guys are not here today, flying solo for this one. Normally our Tuesday Trends episode, but with only a week to go on, less than a full week at this point, there's only so much to look at. So we're just going to take a quick look back at the first week and look at the week that was. Start with some news and some injuries off the top here. Kucherov is out again, out indefinitely at this point. Coach was quoted as saying this is not a day-to-day thing. So that is scary, you would say, on a normal team when you lose 100-point-plus player. But as they showed last year, they can do it with or without him. Obviously a huge blow. And without the backup cast that they had last year, without that solid middle six, they lost, you know, four of the middle six. So it's going to be a lot harder for them to bounce back than it was last year. Obviously, it sucks for the two teams I had Kucherov on, so we'll scramble to find a right winger to fit into his place. MacKinnon still out, tested positive for COVID again, asymptomatic, so he's not showing any physical signs, but he is testing positive. Hopefully, by the time this comes out, he's tested negative and we can get him back in. Another guy I personally drafted a couple times this year. So there's actually a lot of real top-end talent out right now. Matthews, on the flip side, did return tonight. I haven't had a chance to see if he scored. Hopefully not too much rust there. Brock Besser returned. So a couple of guys coming back. A couple more injuries, actually, to mention here. Max Domi. It's a really strong start, 4 points right off the hop, but now he's out for 2 to 4 weeks. So that's a bummer for Columbus. Bummer to lose Max Domi after such a strong start. Evander Kane officially suspended for 21 games for breaching COVID protocol. Man, it's just one thing after the other with that guy. When he's in, he's a fantasy hockey dream, but going forward here, it'd be very interesting to see how people handle this, how the league handles this. It's not even a second chance at this point. For him, it's, chance after chance after chance. Be ashamed to lose a guy of that quality. Hopefully he can get it together. I like his hits. I like having him available for a very selfish reason. I like having him available for fantasy. Blake Wheeler is day-to-day with COVID stuff, testing positive. Not necessarily sick, but see how that one plays out over the next couple of days. Just day to day at this point. Malkin's skating. Sidney Crosby is skating in their usual fashion. Pittsburgh's been without two Hall of Fame players and still managing to put up some offense from all kinds of odd places. Pacioretty, as we mentioned last episode, is out. Mark Stone out. There's a lot of top-end talent off the board at this point. In terms of storylines that the boys sent in to me, one thing that's sort of surprised all of us is the offensive output of Seattle's top line. I know I was definitely somebody saying they're not going to score, they can't score. Hopefully they can score, but I don't think they will. Well, they are. It's mostly that top line with Eberle and the guys, but there's also Brandon Tanev, as we talked about last episode. Definitely something to keep an eye on if Seattle can sustain this offensive output. I mean, it's not even incredible or anything, but it's just surprising, I think, to a lot of us to see them come out of the gates with some goals. As I say this, they are getting lit up tonight by Philadelphia, so I'm glad the guys are not here to gloat on that, but looks like it's 6-1 for Philadelphia over Seattle, so maybe they're turning into a pumpkin. Maybe the out-of-the-gates adrenaline is starting to wear off, and we'll see what the Seattle team's really made of now. Zach was impressed by Braden Holtby, something I definitely could not say when he was in Vancouver last year. First two starts, win and a loss, 2 goals against in each game. In the loss, he did have 37 saves, which is impressive. Just surprising to see him not only get the opening night start, but also the next start. Then he did take the second game of the back-to-back off. That was against Ottawa, which Dallas also lost. Like, it looks, at least in this very early start of the season, it looks like Holtby is the starter. Lots of goalie things to play out there with essentially four goalies in the mix for Dallas at this point. So we'll see how that one plays out. But at this point, Braden Holtby, he's got Pittsburgh and LA coming up this week. So keep an eye on him. He's only 34% rostered in Yahoo, so could be available, probably available. Could be useful in the short term, but I'd quickly get ready to axe him. Definitely don't bank your season on Braden Holtby. Zach also had mentioned, wanted me to bring up Jesse Puljujarvi again. Why not? We've brought him up on every episode so far this season, and with good reason. He's been pretty fantastic. I mean, 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists, a power play point, 7 shots. You're playing with McDavid, playing with Draisaitl. It's tough to not get points. Although there's been lots of players who haven't gotten points playing on McDavid's line. Seems like Puljujarvi has learned his role, especially since they've been stacking it with Draisaitl as well. And it's not easy to play with players who are that great. Having said that, I mean, in game one, Puljujarvi came up with 20 minutes time on ice. And then in the next game, he had under 14. Granted, the Oilers were winning. They were up by quite a bit, 5-2. I believe they ended up winning. But keep an eye on that ice time. I don't see why that would continue with the output he's been putting up. A couple of positives for the Canucks. Zach also wanted me to bring up. I just want to disclaimer that. It's not just me talking about the Canucks. Oh, this would be the perfect time with the guys not here. I could just go off on the Canucks all night. But JT Miller, not a surprise to me. I always draft JT Miller whenever I can, but in the first couple of games for the Canucks here, I mean, he's 100% rostered, essentially. He's got a goal, 3 assists, 2 on the power play, 7 shots, 6 hits, 2 blocks. You know, what more do you need? He's great in a points league and even better in a categories league. And now that he's got that center eligibility, he's a center left wing, it makes him just even a little bit easier to slot into your roster. And more so, it makes it easier for you to slot in other players into your roster, because you're never going to sit JT Miller in really any situation. But he's off to a hot start, as is Connor Garland. Off-season pickup for the Canucks, you know, pretty much unanimously praised as a great pickup, and sure has been so far. He's a goal, 2 assists as well, 5 shots and 3 hits, playing over 19 minutes a game, so he's getting ice time. Canucks have been going hard at their top six, which personally, as a Canucks fan, I'm very happy to see, because the top six is stellar no matter how they mix it up. I'd actually just like to bring attention here to this grouping of three players who just happen to be the top three players in fantasy right now, are all old. Steven Stamkos, Kopitar, and Alex Ovechkin, 1, 2, 3 in this short start to the season. I mean, obviously, yeah, I don't think Kopitar's 7 points in 2 games is a sustainable pace, but it's nice to see that he's still got it. Very owned, obviously. All three of those guys are owned, but cool to see that these old guys are coming out of the gates hard. So if you can, you know, you're not going to get any of those guys, like I said, but I would take this opportunity to maybe sell high on a Kopitar. He's a fantastic center, but he's also, you know, right now playing at over 3 points a game. So not going to happen. So if anybody in your league is a LA fan, Kopitar fan, faded centers too hard, something like that, now's the time you could maybe sell high. Terms of shockingly cold starts, couple of goalies, you know. Vasilevskiy did come out of the gates a little bit slow. He is two wins in 3 games. You know, he came out of the gates with a loss. three goals against in that first game. And then game two with the six goals against, everybody was freaking out, you know, sky is falling, Vasilevskiy's washed up. But then he was right back the next game with another win, 2-1 win over Washington. And, you know, he's fine. So he did have that shaky out of the gate start, but I think we're already seeing him back to being the good, dominant goalie that he is. Even if Kucherov is out for a bit, not too worried for Vasilevskiy. There's also been a little bit of concern towards Darcy Kemper, another one I wouldn't be overly worried about. You know, he won the first game 4-2, lost the second game 5-3. So he's not looking super hot, but again, too early to freak out. I wouldn't be selling your Kemper shares. But at the same time, with, you know, putting up an 852 save percentage, maybe you can throw that in somebody's face and say, yeah, he's not working out there. I mean, in the whole season so far, he's got a 902 save percentage and a goals against of over 3. So you can say those numbers. It looks pretty bad, but, you know, it's pretty easy to look bad in two games. If one of them is a little bit off like his was, there you go. But maybe you can use that in a trade. Hopefully somebody else is freaking out. Something it is not a surprise to me, but is a big surprise to a lot of people, is the Winnipeg Jets are not good. To say it bluntly, they're picked by a lot of people to be, you know, one of the top teams. I've heard in several projections, sort of the Canadian hipster pick to have the Winnipeg Jets as the best Canadian team over Toronto, over Edmonton. Definitely not what I think. Winnipeg is good, but they are not nearly as good as people think. They're 0-2 so far, getting outscored 8-4 over the course of the season. Again, it's just the beginning of the year, only two games in, but I don't think Winnipeg is the powerhouse that people think they are. They do have a lot of talent there, but for whatever reason, just can never put it together. Ever since that Line A trouble started, it seems like the whole team has just been kind of patchwork, you know, band-aids, plugging holes. Things just haven't been smooth there. You know, I love the franchise, but Winnipeg stinks right now. Hopefully they can pick it up. Couple of other storylines that came in from TJ, something people are freaking out about. And maybe a buy low thing you can look for is Tyson Barry with no points in the first couple of games. Even with Edmonton winning, team is scoring quite handily, but it is not going through Tyson Barry right now. Obviously a fantastic offensive season last year. After struggling the previous year on the high-powered Toronto offense, he just didn't fit in there. So a lot of people are freaking out saying, oh, see, it's just like Toronto. He's not going to fit in. No, he led the league in scoring led defense in scoring last year. Two games. He's got a break. Tyson Barry is going to be just fine. Tyson Barry is going to get a lot of power play points. Tyson Barry is going to get you some assists. Don't worry about Tyson Barry. Interesting stuff going on down there in Chicago as well. Kirby Dach, after getting pummeled into the boards, has now played on all the lines, but now he's on line one. DeBrincat has been spending some time on line three, or is looking to spend some time on line three. So that's a bit shocking. Again, DeBrincat's been a streaky fella himself over the last few years, his career essentially, which is only a few years. So keep an eye on that one. Man, I'm starting to like Kirby Dach. I didn't like him before, but now I do. Especially if he's going to be getting some Patrick Kane time. I'm just going to take a look at dailyfaceoff.com here for a second. I like to use Daily Faceoff for lineups. It's my favorite layout. There's some other great sites for lineup predictions and stuff like that. Daily Faceoff is as good as any of them in terms of predictions, but I do like their layout. It looks nice. Right now, they have the top line as DeBrincat, Kirby Dach, and Patrick Kane again. So that's nice. If that can stick, that is great for Dach. Obviously better for DeBrincat if he stays on the top line. Tyler Johnson back down on line three where he belongs. It was a fun couple of days. Hopefully you got that when we mentioned it at the start of the season. But that's what we kind of predicted. That's, I think, what everybody saw coming is Tyler Johnson probably not going to be on the top line for too long, although he is still, Tyler Johnson is on the third line, but he is still centering the first power play. So that's something to keep an eye on. In the upcoming time here, Doc is centering power play two still. So not quite handing over the reins to Doc, but it's all leaning that way. Good for him. Good for us. Interesting to note, though, is Jonathan Toews, not playing center on either power play at this point. So whatever that means. He's been playing on the left wing on the power play. Good for Doc. Nice trend to see here at the beginning of the year. In Vancouver, TJ is concerned about Chiasson being on the top power play. That is something that happened when he was in Edmonton. They kept trying him on the top power play there. It kind of worked at times. He's a big body. They like to use him that way. He's a net front presence. I really feel like in this case, I mean, Chiasson's actually been fine. He's put up a couple power play points. But it's because Besser's out, right? Like, Besser should be there taking Chiasson's spot. So there you go. That's what I think. Coach Raj thinks that. We'll see what happens. The scary thing for me as a fan, for me as a owner who's invested in probably too many Canucks this year, I did break my own rules and invested in quite a lot of Canucks this year. I got a good feeling. Scary feeling is when Besser comes back with the addition of Garland and Chiasson and OEL, who is, you know, he's a fine defenseman still. He's looked really good so far. But there is the makings of two power plays now with Hoglander coming into his own. Tanner Pearson's always reliable. That I hate. I hope they just load up the top power play and keep it that way. Move Chiasson down to the second unit, which is still a fine second unit, but I really hope they just stack that top unit. OEL, when you look at some people reporting the lineups, they're reporting OEL as being on PP1. Daily Faceoff has Hughes on the top line. When I've watched the games, they have had the odd time where OEL has had some seemingly PP1 time, but it's been more overlap, and it's been more when Hughes is tired from already playing a long shift or something like that. I mean, Quinn Hughes, if he's not on the power play, that's his game. That's 75% of his points. That is his skill. He's one of the best power play point guys, quarterbacks in the league, to be honest. I don't think that's too much of a stretch to say. So why would he be taking that away from his game? OEL is a fantastic PP2 quarterback. So at any rate, they have been playing with that a little bit, but it has a lot to do with Besser being out, in my opinion. The only one that matters. We will do a full weekend preview, but if we want to take a look at the second half of this week, perfect time on Wednesday, Tuesday night, Wednesday, to if you can make pickups for those off night teams, this week being Las Vegas and Boston, about to have three off nights each for the remainder of the week. So if you see any Vegas players, any Boston players on the wire, pick them up. Those off nights are valuable, especially if you get three off nights out of the next five nights here. That's very valuable. Maximize your games. Also, San Jose. Most leagues, there's a lot of San Jose players you can pick up. It hurts, but do it. It's fine. Get them. Drop them later. As we spoke about in the last episode, guys like Couture, quite often available. Hurdle's probably going to be taken. You know, most leagues, Burns is going to be taken. But Logan Couture, Timo Meier, Kevin LeBanc, guys like that. Even Eric Carlson's ownership's fallen down to 60% owned in Yahoo. So do it. If you're going to take a flyer on some guys, do it there. I mean, I don't know about this Jasper Weatherby character who is leading the charge on offense in San Jose, playing 10 minutes a game. I wouldn't read too much into that. Cogliano's got himself onto the stat sheet as well, but I wouldn't be looking at him. But I think you can rely on Meyer in particular. Other good schedules coming up. It really depends on the depth of your league. I mean, Nashville has three games remaining. Four if you count today being Tuesday. They have still four remaining with the one off night. So you could take a peek over at Nashville. Detroit and the Islanders in the same boat. They both have three heavy nights and then the off night on Sunday. So outside of Vegas and Boston and San Jose. Those are definitely the three best schedules to try to draw from. Now, in terms of overall trends to start this season, looking at teams, for example, there's definitely been some weird surprises out of the gates. Pittsburgh without Gensel, Crosby, and Malkin to start the season. You know, that's 100 goals right there. They managed to get two wins, and their supporting cast played really well and started the season on a good note. So that's good to see. Definitely Gensel is back. Crosby's coming back. Malkin, I think, is a little bit further, even though he is skating. Keep an eye on Pittsburgh overall. Just as a positive trending team, I think a lot of us expected them to start petering out. But yeah, their supporting players have shown, at least in a limited sample size of three games, but they put out. Columbus, another team that started with a nice 2-for-2. Two wins in two games. Yeah, I mean, they're a +7 as a team. Goal differential over that start, 10 goals for, only three against. So they have been scoring, and they have been preventing the other team from doing the same to them. So that's a recipe for success. What we have disliked about Columbus for the last, like, forever is their inability to score. But right now, they're leading the league. They had five goals a game average at this point. Don't expect that to keep up. But it's, again, showing that they are capable with this lineup. So Columbus, lots of players you can pick up from Columbus in most leagues. Pretty much everybody is low on them as a group. Well, since Zach and TJ aren't here, I will admit that Philly looks a lot better than they did last year. Konechny, my man, in case anybody didn't know, that is Travis Konechny in the song in our intro. The famous eat up quote. Konechny's back. He is hitting. He is scoring. He is doing Konechny things. Let's take a look. So far, he's got 3 points in his first two games. He's got two goals, one on the power play, 8 shots, 7 hits. So at least the early signs are good for one of my biggest investments and biggest fails on investment last year in Travis Konechny. I doubled down and kept him. Picked him up again. He's only 49% owned, and the whole team looks a lot better. So take a look out there for Travis Konechny. Please don't tell the guys I said Philly looks good. Rangers are at the top of their division, tied with Pittsburgh. Thing is, they're only playing .500 hockey to be there. They've just played more games than everybody. Same goes for Toronto. You know, they're at the top of the Atlantic, but they have played twice as many games as everyone. Toronto's looked shaky as always. They kind of bounce from brilliant to unbearable to watch from game to game. A negative surprise as a team right now has been Montreal. The bad news for the team about Carey Price, you know, we obviously all hope he's getting what he needs and is okay, going to be okay, feeling good. I feel that way for Montreal right now, not to make light, but they're 0-for-3. They are at a -7 already goal differential as a team. Only 3 goals, 4 in 3 games. 10 against. Jake Allen's trying to do what he can, but the team is just not. They need to pull the cartridge out and blow on the disc. They need to Control-Alt-Delete, or, you know, did you try turning the team on and off a couple of times, plugging it back in? They haven't got started. I hope they can. I really like the way Montreal looks. Obviously, you lose Shea Weber and Hall of Fame goaltender like Carey Price, who are not only they're old, but they're the backbone of the team. They are the leadership of the team. Their big presence Shea Weber is a physically big presence, so it's a big change. Hopefully they can settle in. Other positive trending teams to start the year, Minnesota's 2-for-2. Dallas is only 1-3. They've stunk. Colorado's looked a little shaky, but missing Landeskog, missing. It's the same old story in Colorado. Their lineup is stacked on paper. It's just that none of it's ever on the ice, and that's a problem. Be it COVID, be it suspensions, injuries, whatever it is, Colorado needs to get their shit together and ice the team that they have on paper. Because if they do that and everybody on that team plays to their average ability, They're a fantastic hockey team. Figured out. Coming up towards Canada, Winnipeg, as I said, they have just stunk it up to start the season. Haven't won yet. Edmonton, undefeated. Vancouver, flashes of looking good. And then there's the times when they blow it. Vancouver has started out the season being the team that looks like the better team for 2.5 periods and then either wins or loses. So far, it's resulted in a win, a loss, and an overtime loss. So, yeah, it's right there. It is literally on the fence. They got to get better. They got to score. And I don't know. I didn't expect anyone else in the Pacific to really be any good. I didn't expect San Jose to win a game. They did. Way to go, San Jose. You know, the other LA teams are bad. Vegas not out to the hottest of starts. And Calgary is Calgary. They stink. So there you go. So in terms of trends, you know, not really a lot we can go on with under a week's worth of games. You know, most teams have only played 2-3 games. But most weeks we'll take this to look at more player trends. Are there hot guys who are going to get cold? Are there cold guys who are going to get hot? That kind of thing. Come find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey. Find us on YouTube as well. Most of our episodes will be live streamed for our Patreon patrons and will be posted the following day for our public. Come find us on Discord. That's where you really want to go to. In our show notes, you can find the link to all these things. Discord is definitely, we've broken 1,000 people in our chat now and people all over the world. So it's literally 24/7. There's people talking hockey, fantasy hockey, real hockey. A lot of people sharing barbecue pictures, recipes, pictures of hockey cards, jerseys. You know, it's a good community. It's fun. It's a good family. So come join us on Discord, Twitter, YouTube. And if you really want to support the show, you can find different ways to donate on our Patreon. Our Patreon address is patreon.com/FHFHradio. So for any of these other ways you can find us, you can go to the links in the show notes, or you can just search for Five Hole Fantasy. All right, curtains. Love you guys.